Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show.
Well, howdy, Spook Show fans. It's your old pal, Cousin Zach. Welcome you to another edition of Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show here on the Gas Digital Network. If you love the show, and we know you do, go to gasdigital.com, use that promo code ZAC, and get yourself a 7-day free trial to not just this program, but all the great shows available on the network. It's February. You know what that means. Black History Month. We're having a blast. Two wonderful guests who've been here a lot before, and I love them very, very dearly. To my left, Dave Temple.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. Enjoying Black History Month. Enjoying all of the bookings on all the podcasts where people need to talk to black people. Thank you all for following. You know, if you're still
Dave Temple, changing the look on black men getting booked. Nate, how you doing? Nate Marshall is here as well. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Happy to be here. Happy. I think this will be my last time here for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm very upset, but we're losing you to Austin. But I wish you all the luck, man. I'm very happy for you guys.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Go make that money.
Hopefully. That's the goal.
Right? Oh, man, dude, I heard what... Ooh.
Yeah.
I heard what those spots pay.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
That hurt my soul.
Yeah, that's like I'm going out there hoping.
Yeah.
If I don't, everything fail.
All right. Well, we have a wonderful show today. Let's get plugs out of the way. Nate?
Just PRTM Podcast on YouTube, anywhere you get your podcast, and my Instagram and Twitter is at Nate Marshall. Instagram is at Nate M on Twitter.
Fantastic, Dave.
No need for apologies. It's my podcast here on the network. If you enjoy what we do here on this thing, then enjoy my total ripoff of The Spook Show with NNFA at the movies. And come on over and watch some Tubi movies with me and Derek. We are on tour at the moment, so please check out our link tree for all of our tour dates as we had a bunch of cities here in the United States and Europe. So, yeah, we're out there. Come check us out. No need for apologies.
Oh, I have one date I forgot. March 19th. Me, LaMare, and Andy are at Cap City doing a panty raid. All of us will be there. Come through to that, please.
Panty raid.
Yes. Fantastic. Guys, if you're listening live tomorrow night, I am in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The following evening, Super Bowl Sunday, I'm at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago, Illinois. Why? Because I'm fucking stupid. Yeah. thank you guys for supporting the show. Really appreciate it. If you like the show, leave a positive comment, a review, anything to get the algorithm going. I appreciate everybody that tunes in. Before we go any further, how about a word from our sponsor? Hey, fans of the show, over the age of 21, living in states where Delta 8 is legal, you guys like to get high, and so do I. That's why today we need to stock up on YoDelta.com. So if you're over the age of 21 and you do live in one of these states, go to YoDelta.com and stock up. What's Delta 8? Something found in hemp that can be legally shipped to various states, and it gets you high. YoDelta.com is a great mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. Let me tell you from personal experience, this Delta 8 stuff works, and these products need to be taken responsibly. So once more, that's YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. If you use the promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off your order. One more time, guys, that's promo code GAS for 25% off at YoDelta, home of the Delta 8 that gets you super high. Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Stop going to smoke shops, gas stations, or bodegas and getting a little bit of kratom at a time when our friends at YoKratom.com deliver a full kilo to your door for just $60. Guys, YoKratom.com has the best strains, the best customer service, and they're the marquee sponsor of everything we do here at the Gas Digital Network. Check them out one more time, guys. That's YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Good in the neighborhood. Welcome back, guys. Today's movie, Hell Up in Harlem. This is a sequel to the movie Black Caesar, but I decided, hey, let's watch this one first. Why? Because Black Caesar was still in theaters by the time this came out.
That's how fast they did it.
10-month turnaround.
Turned around like a DMX second album.
Black Caesar was still playing in some theaters when this one came out. So I don't think it really fucking matters.
Yeah.
Starring Fred Williamson, who we know.
The best.
From a little movie called Boss. Word I can't say.
Boss, nigga. Come on. You can say it. You can say it.
Black History Month, though. Zach's going to say it. We're going to get Zach to say it. We do that too many times. We can't.
Yeah. The only way I'm going to say it is if I stub my toe on the way out of here.
Yeah, so I got to call my boss, nigga.
But you guys know him from Boss, N-Word, MASH, Starsky and Hutch, From Dusk Till Dawn, Soul of N-Word, Charlie, Inglourious Basterds, Vigilante, and The Big Score. And this is a fun one. This is directed and written by Larry Cohen, one of my absolute favorites. You guys know him from this show. We did God Told Me To, Cue the Winged Serpent, The Stuff, It's Alive. He also did Black Caesar, Original Gangsters, Phone Booth, Maniac Cop, Uncle Sam, and a bunch of great movies. Just a fucking prolific director. This was shot, but you know what? To the surprise of no one, Dave, where did we find this movie?
Tubi.
Tubi, the Black Netflix.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to win. I've been yapping about this, yeah. And I'm going to say it here. Tubi will win the streaming wars.
I think WWE going to Netflix is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal, but I'm telling you, it's just like the way YouTube won over Vimeo and all of those different platforms when it came out, because it was just an open source that allowed anything. Yeah. That's the big thing, right? I get you got the big deals over here, but
like a new version of podcasting, like you can just put any fucking thing you want to put up on Tubi. I didn't even think about it in that context.
Well, holy moly, is there a Black Voices section on Tubi, and have I been having fun?
Oh yeah,
going through some movies that, I mean, there were some were so bad I thought I was going to be in them.
Yeah, yes.
We do show the movie Friday nights at midnight with a pre-stream starting at 11:30. Goes up on YouTube and Stitcher and all that fun stuff a couple days later. If you want to watch it along with us, gasdigital.com, promo code ZAC for your free trial. Without any further ado, Frank, roll that beautiful bean footage.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Do you think the WWE being on Netflix, they're going to bring back the Brian Panties match?
I don't know. I think they're going to have to be pretty careful.
Oh, because of the Vince stuff.
For the next few years.
Did you see any of that, the Vince McMahon text?
I've heard, and my take on it is, now you have to say that kind of stuff happened for anyone to even listen.
Yeah.
It has to be extreme.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you can't just do the, oh, he touched me, or he put his hand on my leg, or he grabbed my butt. Like, nope, you got to go extreme.
I mean, his texts were funny. They were extreme, but they weren't extreme like rapey. They were extreme like freak bull.
Yeah. So here's the thing. What, you think he was fucking Linda?
Yeah, right. For like with all that money he has? No, no way.
It's more that he shit on a lady's head. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I keep forgetting about
that one.
Here's
the thing. I don't think he did it. I'm just saying, it's like you proved that you didn't do it. That's the hard part. You know what I mean?
I'm a
part of it. I can't. So, fun facts about the movie. Black Caesar comes out, is a hit. They tell Larry Cohen, you got to make a second one. Some fucking hard nipples.
Yeah. Cool. I wore more bras back then.
Just like Velma.
I like this. This is definitely old school New York. She still got her chain chucked in.
So here's the thing. Obviously supposed to be in New York City. Fred Williamson was so busy that he's not in most of the movie. It's a stand-in. Okay. And only the close-ups are actually Fred Williamson.
Huh.
They shot his scenes in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
To match New York City. So the movie's all in New York. But then they went to L.A. and got his close-ups.
Man, that's the dream.
So that's why he doesn't talk a lot.
Is he still top paid on the bill?
Yeah. He's a star of the movie.
Fred Williamson was so big back then. Okay. Yeah, you're going to work with him.
Damn.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of hitting of black women. Hitting women in general, too.
Yep. So this was actually shot on weekends including while Larry Cohen was filming It's Alive, the crew would go get shots for this.
Yeah.
So this is actually being made in congruity with one of the notorious late night horror movies.
That is an incredible angle to pull off backslaps also. Yeah. Like effective backslaps right there.
Just like a like that It Man punch, that 10-inch punch.
Also, very, very funny when we were doing the Mount Rushmore
movies
on Real Ass Podcast, and he brings up It Man, and Lewis loses his
Lewis
fucking mind.
Was so pissed.
Yeah, so it is very
funny. So that's Fred Williamson. I'm not good with actors. Okay.
It's very funny to me.
Oh, man. You never got up on Fred Williamson?
Nah.
Blaxploitation legend.
Yeah, he's Boss Edward.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the soundtrack to this, James Brown did the soundtrack for Black Caesar.
Uh-huh.
They asked him to do the soundtrack for this one.
This ain't
the
him.
Studio did not like it. He kept it, released it as a solo album called The Payback.
Uh-huh.
Because the movie was supposed to be called Black Caesar's Revenge. His number one selling album.
Just bodied him. And so they could have had a fire soundtrack,
they had,
too.
What was going to be a huge, the blackest name I've ever seen, Durville. Durville.
Do you think that it did numbers like that because of the backstory to it?
No, people didn't know that that's what it was.
When Jay-Z put that movie out that album out for American Gangster?
But that album was good, though.
That
one was real good, yeah. I still go back
to
that.
There was an inspiration there.
Yeah.
See, this is why cabbies don't pick us up.
Yep. They showed him this movie
at
training.
All shot.
I love that he handed him $100 to drive on the sidewalk. Like, how crazy is that?
Just risking a murder charge.
This is also extremely big budget action. So you think they pulled this off?
Oh, I think.
You think they just drove down the street and filmed it?
So this is not as big, but I mean, this is still a fucking Larry Cohen movie. So it's not a huge budget, especially because they're shooting on weekends, making three movies at the same time.
Yo, there's no way this taxi cab driver wouldn't have just stopped driving. Like, get out. Get out and die.
Oh, this is back when cabbies were white.
That don't even seem like a reality in my mind.
I know, right?
It's like
I've had a couple throughout my tenure in New York City, and I gotta tell you, it's nice. Like an old Italian guy.
I was about to say, it has to be an old Italian guy.
A guy that's like been like a pancake hat, knows a lot about the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Wants to talk, I'm guessing.
Yeah, really wants to talk.
Oh, okay. I see where the budget went off.
Yep. Yeah, so Fred Williamson lived in L.A. They went and shot his scenes.
Oh, yeah, that is downtown L.A. Like, yeah, that was just so
there, cool. It's just very funny to me that we switched between New York and L.A. And I don't think...
Yeah.
Most people would care, but it's so obvious what's New York and what's L.A. to me. It's the same with Doll Man, which is a movie we watched here, where it's supposed to be New York, or excuse me, L.A., and very obviously New York. Or the other way around, excuse me.
This dude was tanking that gut shot, just chasing people down.
Mm-hmm.
In Reservoir Dogs, they say that's one of the most painful places to get shot.
Yeah, yeah.
That and the kneecap.
The kneecap seems crazy, but the gut just feels like you'd feel it in your whole body.
He got shot in the gut.
Yeah.
Hello?
I can only do one voice from Reservoir Dogs.
I'm hurt.
I can do one line, but I can do it.
What is it?
Stop pointing that gun at my dad!
I haven't seen that movie in years.
Holds up.
Like, since I was in, like, high school, I think. And I used to, I don't know, that used to be my shit. I can't even remember it. I think I've killed my brain cells with weed.
Yeah, I've been on an edible kick lately, and I've been really...
You feeling it? Feeling dumb. Yeah, I've been feeling dumb.
Yeah, I've been taking those hundreds with Lewis sometimes.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I don't know how he does.
Oh, yeah, the last time we were here doing Real Ass, we took some of them and I drove, out of the city.
Okay, fun fact about that also.
Yeah.
I took half of it and put the other half in my cargo pants pocket.
Yeah.
And we were here talking one night and I had those same pants on. I'm like, oh shit, I got the other half of that one.
We were at Lewis's house a few weeks ago. Me, him, and Scott Chaplin working on something.
Wait, this is the guy from the Green Mile?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm racist.
No, he would be way too young.
Yeah, because he's old here.
You know how some black dudes, there's some black actors that are just like never old. They were just never young. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Samuel Jackson in Goodfellas looks older than he does now.
Even in Coming to America, he's young, but he's like old. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's weathered. Well, he was a trunky, right?
Huh?
He was definitely like poor. He was trying to rob the place. But I don't remember if he was like, because he had that one scene. He wasn't.
No, I think in real life, wasn't he an ex-addict?
Oh, you know, I think.
Oh, yeah. I know he got started late because of some weird setbacks.
No, those guys you find out have been old the whole time, like Danny Trejo.
Yeah, Danny Trejo's never not looked like a 100-year-old.
But he's been old since the 90s. Like, he's like in his 70s.
Right. We were talking about that this morning, too. Some people, you don't question their age, like Danny DeVito or CeeLo. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you have no idea how old they are.
Yeah, Danny DeVito's got to be 80 now, though, right?
I don't know.
I'm guessing. That's probably a bad guess, but I feel like he's old as shit.
And even when you see him young on Taxi, it's like he looks
like a little old man. He just that all that early balding.
The other guy, too, the guy that played Kramer.
Yeah.
Like, when you see him in, like, Problem Child, again, he's still old.
Is that no, I'm thinking of the other guy, the one who played George. George looked old. He was another one who always looked old.
Yeah. He's 29.
In
the first season of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
It is until I started, like, meeting a lot of Jewish comics here. And you just go, like, you're 28? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Why are you so stressed?
Right. And it's like, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying it, but that's, like, what a New York Jew looks like. You know what I mean? It's just like...
They all look ridiculous.
So you see how every shot of his face is pointed at the sky?
Yeah.
That's why. So I have a theory about that. When you meet like a young old man, I think they're old cum. A lot of the time.
Just like an old guy's cum?
Yeah, they're old. They usually have old parents. Because I had a roommate who was like in his early 20s. He was a film reviewer. Really nice guy, but he's always like, yeah. Nobody would give me a seat on the subway today, and my back hurts. And I'm like, dude, you're 23.
I'm an old cum baby.
Yeah?
My dad is 75. I'm 34.
There's some people you
were
just
you
tell.
His first or?
I was his second, but he didn't know. He got a white lady pregnant in like the 70s or something like that, 60s. I don't know. She's 50-something now. But she never told him that she had a baby, so... Like, she found us when she was already 30, and I was, like, 5. So.
Wait, what?
Like, I have a sister that I met, when she was 30, because she, like, her mom put her up for adoption as soon as she was born.
And that's the white lady.
And that's the white lady who got pregnant.
Okay.
And so I'm not his first, but I'm his first in his, like, at the time.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because I was already born by the time he realized he had
that kid.
Got
you.
And she was a grown woman.
How'd your mom handle that?
She was cool about it, actually.
Yeah, you can't be mad at that.
Yeah. She was only happy because, like, my sister called asking for my dad. So he's just, like, a woman calling, like, is Nathan there? So my mom's like, who the fuck is this calling the house asking for him? And then it's, like, his daughter. And she's like, oh, all right, you know.
I'm his wife.
Yeah, I think that's what my mom was worried about, like, that shit. Just being a lady calling, and after that, she was cool.
That is funny that they had to put signs everywhere to say Harlem Hospital.
Yep.
Because they're still in L.A.
Mm-hmm. I love that they match the mural.
Yeah. This is. I bet you Always Sunny stole this platform. Like, we can do it. No problem.
Just get a couple of wide city shots. Start the show with it.
That's a fun way to get him out of the shot is have it all be POV. Sorry to break that's a really smart way to keep him out and not have to fly everybody there.
He's still charming. He's been nursing a gunshot for hours now.
Yeah, for the people that did watch our Boss N-Word episode, D'Urville Martin was his the deputy. For Sheriff N-Word. Hold on, I'm trying to see if there's any good graffiti.
I think his name was Amos in that.
Lefty 139.
bathroom writing is always interesting. The first time I'm in a new bathroom, I'm not in it fucked up. I do look around for like a minute.
Yeah.
Take it in. What kind of place is this? You can kind of learn the vibe of a whole establishment from the bathroom.
You don't see racist graffiti like you used to.
There should be a lot of racist graffiti in New York.
I remember. There was like no one knew what to write with a Sharpie other than the N-word.
Well, they looked at the Sharpie
and were inspired.
Yeah, like, you know what this looks like?
No cap. That's the other thing that was wild about the 70s. Offices just smelled horrible. Wall to wall carpet, no thick fucking curtains, and just cigarette smoke.
Wait outside.
Oh, I want it. I want it so bad. I love. I don't smoke. I love when people smoke inside.
Yeah. Do you get any? Do you like? I take smoking rooms now.
I ask for smoking rooms on the road if they have them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't smoke, but I just like them.
Oh, that's gross, but it's funny.
I smoke weed in there.
Okay, yeah, I do that, yeah.
Oh, you mean a smoking hotel room? I thought you meant like a gig where you could smoke inside.
If they have a smoking room, I'm taking it, especially in the winter. I'd rather just smoke in the hotel room than go outside.
I got you.
Yeah, it's a little bit more disgusting, but whatever.
Can you smell it the second you walk in?
Yeah, it's a fucking rug. It's just got cigarette smoke. That's the thing. Everyone was smoking cigarettes, you know what I mean? It's like, that's the price you pay if you want to smoke weed inside.
I took poor fucking Alex Tomaselli on the road, and I got us a motel. I literally called the motels and was like haggling. I'm such a I go into every situation like it's a Bangladesh market.
Yeah.
And I was calling motels going, well, I could get a room for this price. Can you beat that? And this old man's like, I got
chains?
You.
Or are they just like a random ass?
No, they'll be random ass like
mom and pop motel. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm at the
a lot of people, you can tell like people live there.
Yeah.
And I got it a real cheap motel and I felt bad. But it was fine, you know, we get through it. And I really paid the price on it. I didn't fit on the toilet.
Oh.
It was wall, toilet, wall with a shower in it. Dude, I had to back into the toilet like I was doing a squat.
Yeah.
And my arm, I couldn't get my arms in. So then I had to go in the shower to wipe.
I was about to say, because where's the toilet paper dispenser at that point? You got to take that off to sit down, too.
Yeah, right? I take it off to sit down. And I was so humiliated. And what Alex doesn't know.
Oh, he was there? He was like, y'all were sharing a room?
Shared a room.
Okay.
And what he doesn't know is maybe I missed the spot because you're not used to wiping standing up.
Yeah.
And I woke up and I left a big shit stain on the bed.
Oh, no.
And I took all the sheets and I balled them up and put them in the corner of the room. That's twice in 2 years I've had. I did that on the road with Paco in Vegas, in Colorado, because I had, what is it when you get poisoned from the altitude poisoning?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You didn't, what did he didn't ask about it? Like, why are you taking the sheets off? He wasn't curious?
No, I just had a bed with no sheets on. I rolled the sheets on the floor in the corner.
It's a weird thing. When you're sharing a hotel room with another man and he does something weird, you don't ask.
Yeah, true.
You really don't ask.
Oh, yeah, if you're with your chick, you have to do a lot of splaining.
Yeah.
This to me was, this. By the way, the poor motel owner must have been so mad.
You know what?
That I called, asked for a rate,
and then shitted on his carpet.
And then shit on his bed.
You're like the girls that get BBWs in those airport hotels. Bleed all over the comforters. You know what I did love about blaxploitation films like this, though? They showed like this organization of black people that I personally have never experienced, but I do believe it exists from these
God
movies.
God damn, he was close to him. The way that car.
No stunt doubles either.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. What was the organization of?
Yeah, you just see how they just had, like, he was able to make two phone calls, and boom, he's getting in.
Yeah, most black guys only get one phone call.
But yeah, everyone came through, you know what I mean? And not only did they come through, they came through well-dressed. Oh, wow. Nice view of the bridge there. D'Angelo, district attorney
for this county. Did not expect D'Angelo to be a white guy. Folks with the names of very
important people. Also, they didn't mic him up at all. What the?
Oh, no, a bunch of people's mouths don't match their words on this one.
Yeah, they went back and did voiceover recording.
Yeah, there's one scene in a car where nobody's mouth matches.
Yeah. Okay. This is also at a time, you got all these cars going across the bridge. Mufflers weren't really that big of a thing back then.
It's just loud ass. Okay, I didn't think
I'm also going to assume it's windy as fuck. It's raining. Or it's about to rain. The audio is probably completely unusable. They're on a roof.
Yeah.
You know how loud the wind is up there?
And they're trying to add that boat audio in the background. Oh, no.
Yeah, I believe there's a few things they say, like the worst places to get sound. And it's the beach, on a boat, or like by water.
Oh, they're about to toss my man. Oh, I already know what this is going. He's going to land right on the car. I'm excited for the scene.
Have you ever seen the photo of the world's most beautiful suicide?
No.
A lady jumped off a building and landed like perfectly on a car.
That was driving.
You got it.
No, it was a parked car.
Okay.
But she landed like almost. She looks asleep.
Yeah, like she looks like nice.
And they say it's the like most beautiful suicide. The photo's referred to as the world's most beautiful suicide or something.
Sucks she doesn't know that.
Yeah. Like one of her shoes is like one of her high heels is off and one's on. Like,
yeah.
It looks staged.
Okay.
I don't understand like how their feet didn't hurt back in the 70s. No one wore sneakers.
They probably did hurt though. It's probably like.
What? How's the other thing? Like, no one.
Have you ever met a dude our age with a bunion?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, I got corns. No, they had that from the footwear.
Yeah.
Everybody now wears sneakers all day.
Yeah.
It probably just was like, you don't talk about it. Everybody's fucking feet hurts.
Bad feet and polyester clothing. Like, just no air conditioning and polyester.
You were looking good, though.
Yeah, they look good.
Good.
But just pulling out a polyester sweat bush
to
get laid with no AC. You had to really want it in the 70s.
Yeah,
and that's the best it's ever been.
Yeah, I was about to say, at that time, it was still the best that it had ever gotten, though. Yeah. Are you saying you wanted to go back
to that? No, I'm saying that up till that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was as good as they knew, because think about how stinky pussy was.
In the 50s.
Go back to the 1800s, 1900s. Yeah. Fucking farm pussy?
Yeah.
Just you don't shower for weeks or more?
Yeah. I forgot, there was a book I read about Rockefeller, and he had to help. He wanted to uplift black people, right? Mm-hmm. And he knew that black people needed to come up for America to do well, but he knew that Southern whites, they needed to come up also. Because he knew like they were like a half a step above the freed Negro back then, right?
Okay.
And the way he had to get white people to start to, they had to teach them to wear shoes because they were still struggling with this disease. I forget what it's called, but like where these worms get in your feet from like you shitting outdoors, barefoot,
like, oh, that's nuts.
Right,
I think they're called
shit footworms.
Right, right.
I think it's pinworms.
Pinworm or something like that. Yeah, like it was like, hey guys, you can't just keep shitting by riverbanks, like squatting like that. You're getting sick. Yeah.
I love that they had to call it pinworm because shit foot.
Because you couldn't do shit foot in a Christian society like that.
I mean, and I guess that's why they're called the Tar Heels.
By the way, what a great name for a cryptid Shitfoot would be.
Yeah.
Like you're walking through the forest, there's just a giant pile of poop. Oh, no, Shitfoot was here. Fit to raise children.
I said, put him in the car. I'm mad they got a jacket on this lady now.
The suspension on cars, too. Crazy. You see these boats bouncing all around? Bring them up like they were
my own. They just stole her baby?
Yeah. You've got no love for them. You're
just doing this to hurt me. Is that his ex? I might have missed him.
This black guy smiling in the back does not know what movie he's in.
He's just happy to be on camera.
Yay, steal that baby.
He looks so happy to just be
getting. I'm telling you, being a henchman is crazy.
It looks like they took him out in that second shot.
Yeah, they get rid of him. He's
stop fucking smiling.
Can you tell the retard to stop smiling?
All right, he's fucking Charlie Murphy in the scene up. How is that not a woman's hat?
On the left?
I've literally seen Erykah Badu wear that same hat.
Like, recently.
Oh, man. That's cold.
Yep.
Stole a baby.
No license. Right.
Yeah, no license plate.
Didn't need to get family court involved in that one.
Oh, yeah, no license plate, huh?
They already got the baby.
Way to commit.
Oh, wow. That's that what place happened has been looking like that for that long?
Good evening, Mr. D'Angelo. Good to see you again.
Oh, yeah.
Dead?
Yeah, because he walked off on that roof thinking that they were going to throw him off.
Dump him.
And he was just going to go see a play? Oh, you sick fuck.
Angelo! Was that a dream?
I don't know, but I know the amount of white guy, the way they depicted single men wearing PJs back then was hilarious.
Yeah, like you just by yourself getting into your jammies.
Yeah.
Sleeping my draw.
Fucking Scatman Crothers hanging out in fucking PJs. They all have short robes.
My dad did rock a robe, though. Now that I'm thinking about it,
you know what's funny? Yeah. I'm thinking about it. I might go back to it.
A robe looked pretty nice. Good.
Yeah. Because you don't have to put clothes on, but like you're not naked, just freeballing around the house.
And you can still do like you go out front, get your Amazon packages in your robe. Just taking the day real
just
quick.
Just moving real slow, right? Yeah. Because here's the thing. Like, when I'm home, like, I'm a nude guy in the crib. You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't like sweating out underwear and stuff
making clothes
unnecessarily.
Dirty.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll put them on, we're going out the house.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll just throw on a ball shorts and a tee. I do. We'll throw a tee on.
Yeah.
My wife got mad at me for going downstairs to get a package just wearing basketball shorts.
No shirt?
Yeah, whatever.
She
was mad because I had no shoes. I was barefoot.
Okay.
So she bought me slides.
Yeah. Oh, you had no slippers, slides, nothing like that?
I had nothing.
I moved through the house with that. I'll be like in my drawers, but I'll have slides on.
So we became slides people.
Yeah.
In the last few months. I love it.
Yeah. I love it too.
Yeah. I liked it so much, I got it for everyone in my family for Christmas.
Yeah.
No one wore house shoes.
Especially to like realizing like, oh, there's no need to thump around on the floors anymore because I got like these foamy Nike slides.
Yeah, the ones I got are called, what are they called? Clouds?
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, my family, we never wore house shoes.
So you were like putting everyone on to house shoes recently. Like, I'm going to learn y'all something.
Yeah, house shoes.
That's why I always thought it was funny, the West Coast dudes, like the West Coast black dudes that would wear the house shoes outside. You know what I mean? But it was like, well, someone put you on slippers to begin with. And the fact that you had them and were like, yeah, I'm going to keep up with these.
I'm wearing these for the night. These are my night shoes.
Yeah.
I can't wear them out the house for too long. If I'm going to, I'll be worried that something's going to happen that I don't need. I need to not be wearing sandals.
Real quick, this was also an interesting cultural appropriation move because black people were obsessed with kung fu in the 70s.
Yeah. I'm sure they got a direct order to have a ninja fight.
Yeah.
It was a typo.
Great job. Great Zach Amico, ladies and gentlemen.
You know how those ninjas love to fight each other?
Could you imagine fighting a man with sunglasses and a hat on and you don't knock any of that shit off?
And it's still he's still looking good with it, too. It's not hanging by a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the other hand, you feel like you dominated a person if you still have all your stuff on.
Yeah,
all you got to do is hit the movie. Like,
wasn't it Patrice that said... black guys are very stylistic with their violence. Like they like to get themselves because it was him watching the bus, the black guy get beat up on the bus. Remember the old man, epic old man,
beard guy, ambulance.
Call ambulance.
Oh yeah.
He leaking.
Yeah.
Rodriguez like watch the guy when he thinks he's about to kick the old man's ass. He puts a cigarette in his mouth. He like adjusts his belt.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Yeah, he's got to look cool for the fight." And meanwhile, this old man is just in like a fucking veteran shirt, and he stands up with Popeye forearms.
Oh, could be a Chinaman for all I care. Thin and shine shoes. Black Belt Jones was like
nice.
That, though. Black, oh yeah, nice body. Yeah, Black Belt Jones. I remember he had a scene in Enter the Dragon. where they thought it was him that was doing the breaking in. It was actually Bruce Lee doing his espionage work at night. And he goes, yeah, I won't mind it because I'll be too busy looking good. Like, even though he was a kung fu guy, he's always making his afro was tight. Slow down, Cameron.
Yeah. Do you think when they got pitched that scene, those actors were all like, we got to what?
We got to do what?
Nice.
Loud as hell.
I always like that concept, too, of like, I'm a cold-blooded killer, but I can sit down and be a maid for 2 years if you need me to.
just plotting a slow revenge.
Wow, he just ran right through that man's crossfire.
That's some...
Oh, the blood pellets.
I'm about to say, they're awful in this movie.
Yeah, no, the blood is criticized in this one.
I'm mad that my man is wearing the little Jones when they clearly had, like, long legs.
Yeah, he wanted to show off his legs, man. Yeah. That was a thing in the 70s, man.
Good legs.
Yeah, that's why their shorts were so little. They wanted to show that shit off, bro.
Yeah, nah.
Everybody was in shape back then, man. Like, that's the thing. You're not even going to really see an overweight black guy in these movies. Maybe one.
They said when they showed a kind of fat guy the second you said
it. Yeah, the second you said it, they showed a fat guy. Coming out of his fucking...
Look at that dong.
Being born in the 90s, in my mind, I was like, it took time to adjust to, like, things being small still. I grew up in the baggiest of eras.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was still, like, years of adjusting.
And I think that was Allen Iverson that started the big baggy short thing.
Yeah, I think it was,
Jordan
too.
Jordan played in little shorts. He used to wear tights underneath his hands to give him a little bit more length, but.
Yeah, but AI had the whole NBA rocking. Mid calf.
Did she just drop kick a motherfucker in a gunfight? Good for her.
Hell yeah, dude. Goddamn.
Out of sight. Oh, yeah.
That's how you take care of shit.
Kicking a chick back is hilarious.
Most of these people, the reason he's on these. Oh, no, he's with people right here. All right.
This poor white guy that throws this party. I told you I didn't like the maids. I didn't want to make it weird. Don't worry, kill it.
Where the gosh shit? Where work this out? He's about to die right this second. I'm a wanted man, me and my pa.
Like to be fixed up. We got judges, prosecutors on our payroll. No, this audio was terrible. Go bring it in, ladies.
Yo, my man got his whole dick out.
I know. You know who he reminds me of? Like wrestlers. Remember, like, Razor Ramon would stand there with, like, a leather vest on?
But just his whole meat showing. Now, that's
what they call... I'm pretty sure one of these maids is about to offer Billy Madison a snack pack.
Right. Now you got black eyed peas, head of greens, chickens,
collard greens, pink feet, cornbread. And for dessert,
watermelon. I like, though.
Now, I understand that this is supposed to be a punishment. I like almost everything on that plate.
Here's the thing. What if the gunfight didn't go that way they wanted it to?
Yeah.
What are you guys cooking? Like,
what were y'all doing in the kitchen? D'Angelo here is going to fix it up for me. Ain't that right, D'Angelo?
Anything can be fixed in the good old USA. Yeah, no, as far as TikToks lately, I like watching Southern or black people cook, or I like watching black women watch white people cook.
Yeah,
I get frustrated.
I had to stop watching those videos for a while.
I'll share a little secret with you here. I cook more like a white person. Because I'm scared to death to season the food to fuck up my health.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'll be like, really? Yeah. And they'd be like, put some on there. Okay.
All right. Bank presidents, heads of corporations. It looked like a race riot to everybody, but you'll know what it is. No one notices that. Say what I'm going to do,
D'Angelo. I was just fucking thinking. I was trying to... my favorite is watching black ladies watch white ladies make mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They take it personal.
Yeah, they take it very personal.
That's why I want to see, like, other videos to see what else they would flip out. Like, I just want to see, like, a video of a black woman watching a white woman suck black dick.
I guarantee that's on Pornhub. I guarantee.
Reaction videos?
There's reaction videos on Pornhub for sure. Now you're talking my language. There's podcasts on Pornhub. There's so much other content.
Like, I like when there was a time where there were full-length movies that were hidden in there. Like, shit that's in theaters, but no one's checking here.
You're not looking for it or X videos. Yeah. The technology's gotten too good now. One of my favorite things on Pornhub, I don't know if it's still there because they did like that. They went through that whole thing where they had to get a bunch of shit off. But LaMare used to have a bunch of his sets on Pornhub, like labeled as like big black comedian destroys white audience or shit like that.
Yeah,
just
stupid
as hell. But I think it's gone.
Certainly appreciate you. Oh, the other thing I like black women to get mad about, black people in general, great reaction videos, potato salad.
Yeah.
They take potato salad seriously.
Yeah, man. It's weird.
Are there videos of white people watching black people season food and going like, you guys are going to get
absolutely
sick. They are?
Yeah, because they yell at us about cooking the steak too much.
They'll
watch black people do a medium well steak and be like, you're fucking ruining it.
Yeah, do you still do medium well? Or do you switch?
I've switched.
Yeah.
I don't eat as much meat, but if I do go to a steakhouse, I know better than to go past medium. You know what I mean?
My go-to is medium. I won't go rare, but like I...
The sad part is, I think I still prefer it medium well. I go medium just to not hear people's mouths.
To not have people be like, I knew you were going to fucking... I knew you were going to... Yeah. No, I grew... It went from like well to like medium well. Now I actually just like it better.
Yeah.
Medium. I don't think I'll ever go rare, like medium rare though. I've seen... I've been around it. I've taken bites of it. I get it. Whatever, but nah, it looks too.
I've been tempted recently to order my steak blue.
Blue?
Blue is one beyond rare.
Oh, man.
I believe.
Like, so it's more, it's like.
Cooked even less.
Than rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little flame kiss.
It looks at the grill.
Is it just because you want to be like bloody faced while you're actually eating?
I love rare. It's probably my favorite. It's definitely in my top five, but like one of my favorite things in the world is prime rib.
Okay.
It's not like the classiest cut or anything.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's just my favorite.
Because I do not understand the concept of prime. It's just a prime cut. Like, what is the cut of prime rib?
Well, it's,
I hear it a lot.
Each cut is a different part of the cow.
Uh-huh.
And prime rib is just, it's like a roast that they cut each, like.
Is there bone in prime rib?
Sometimes.
Okay. I've never ordered it. It doesn't sound appealing to me, but like I hear it.
Well, maybe not. No, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Thinking of ribeye? No, ribeye is the shaving, the one you shave, I think.
Yeah. And then the one most you get, it's like a New York strip and something else, and that's the either side of the bone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's to me nothing like prime rib and then like garlic mashed potatoes and spinach. Okay. The classic steakhouse meal.
Watch dinner on TV tonight. You must get your kicks out of hearing your name mentioned. Causing me a lot of problems, Rufus.
You about to kill the pastor?
Pleased to hear I'm so effective.
The crooked pastor.
So high and mighty when you were pimping for me.
Although apparently this guy was a huge pain in the ass on set.
This guy?
And would not follow the director. Would not listen to the director.
I know you too.
And what do I have here? Oh. That's D'Urville Martin. Larry Cohen said D'Urville Martin was difficult to work with during shooting. So Cohen would do fake takes to let him do what he thought he wanted, and then he would actually get the take he wanted.
Yeah.
I experienced that once working on 50 Central. There was a woman who was complicated like that, and they would literally just do fake takes to appease her. It was the most insane thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Was she famous? My bet. Was she like already famous or
who,
just
her?
The lady?
She wasn't even an actress. She was like a stage director or some shit like that. But shit that she just felt she wanted to see. It was weird.
Jay Moore tells the story. He was in a movie that Clint Eastwood directed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lady who was supposed to hand him a letter. and she kept trying to like really make a meal out of it. Mm-hmm. Like she like teased them with the letter, or like would she kept making business?
Yeah, yeah.
To extend her thing, and Clint Eastwood goes, "God damn it! If I could have hired just your fucking arm, I would have."
Yeah. But and I've heard this story also, and it's the thing like. He's downstairs behind, so like the movie is like on a third floor walk up or something, and they're up in the hallway shooting at the thing. So because she keeps overacting, they go cut, and old ass Clint Eastwood has to get up out of the director's chair, go up like two or three flights of stairs to go, honey.
Yeah,
I cannot begin to tell you how much this scene is not about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're
if I could hire just your hand, I would have. He tells her that and then slowly makes his elderly way back down. Like, and everyone's just hearing him walking down the steps.
Just quiet steps, right. Waiting to hear action.
All right, rolling. Like, holy shit.
I love the idea of her still being like, nah, this is my moment.
Fuck that old man.
He doesn't know.
When we were working on the neutral movie, Shakespeare Shitstorm, there's a lady in it who's supposed to be a crack dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's great in it. She's awesome in it. And but the first take we did with her was she was supposed to say, "You got any money, asshole?" And she said it like she was, "You got any money, asshole?"
Yeah.
And the director goes, "Cut." And then he takes it, "Zach, she's got to do it. She's got to do it blacker. You tell her." And I'm like, "You want me to tell her that?" I'm like, "Let's just have her do another one." And I'm like, "You know," I was like, "You can, you know, give me some more attitude on this one." And she goes, "You got any money, asshole?" I was like, "You got to tell her to do it."
Yeah.
And I take her aside away from everybody else because I don't want to like.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, "We're looking for more like a Jackie Brown kind of like soul. Like, if you could like put a lot of like stank on it." And she's like, "How do you want it to sound?" And I went, "I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry to do this in your face. But can you be more like, 'You got any money, asshole?'" And she goes, "Oh, you want me to be real black?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I went, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." She goes, "Oh, honey, that's fine."
"Say what you mean, white
boy." Got right in the character. All right.
That short haired girl, when they show her again, especially in that black turtleneck, she reminds me of Onika McLean.
If I'm not wrong, one of the women in this, Gloria Hendry, was, I believe, the first or one of the first black Bond girls.
Okay.
She's also in Pumpkinhead, too.
Wait, who was one of the first black Bond girls?
Helen Bradley. I don't know. It's one of the...
They haven't shown her yet.
No, she's, I think, one of the ladies we've seen already. "Don't have to antagonize me, Mr. Gibbs. I happen to believe that you are a decent man."
"He's always had a knack for fooling women." Reverend Rufus
is like if I had to write a character in a black movie,
Reverend
I would name them Reverend Rufus.
I think we also got those mustaches from the Chinese.
Yeah,
from loving Chinese movies. Yeah, that wispy, long, uncomfortable to have mustache.
I believe that's called an act of Fu Manchu. "You got a program on TV.
You got to give them what they want to hear about." And they started this movie off with great nips, and I was like, all right, this is going to be a good time. There's been, like, not a lot of body in it. And I'm always looking for that when I come to these.
Yeah, well, there was some good women at the shootout.
I forgot.
But black women weren't curvy like that back in the 70s, bro.
I mean, but big titties was in. That's the one thing. Any blaxploitation movie I've seen back in the day, like Jackie Brown, it was just a lot of titty in it.
Okay, but I felt like those women had to grow into their titties. Like, everyone was an A cup until they started popping out kids.
Yeah, I still see it, like, on old music videos now. Just like the one that stands out to me the most is I get around. I remember being a kid being like, "These bitches are so fucking thick." This is, and then like you see that video now, and everyone's like would be like a slim. You like you don't got no ass type shit now. But born in the perfect time.
I think music videos are a big part of why I went through a big black chick phase.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Were you ever a BET Uncut?
No, it was called The Box. Was the channel I watched? It was channel 99.
Yeah.
And you would call. And then enter at the bottom of the screen, they would have like a 5-digit number, and you could request a video.
Yeah.
And I before I had porn, would jerk off to like rap videos in the middle of the night.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because if you saw that number going in, like, oh, they're ordering the one I like. Get the lotion, right?
You're like such a time crunch.
Yeah.
And it was real, like, it was the first time I saw like really dark women. Like the Big Pimpin' videos got a girl who's like, looks like she hasn't been unlocked yet.
Big Pimpin's another one where they look old. Man.
Yeah.
Like they're not old like the bodies you were saying. That's another one where the bodies just don't like.
And the
now.
Other was Mystical.
Mystical. Shake your
ass and Danger.
Those were your two?
Those are the ones I remember the most, being like, these women are fucking hot.
The first 45 seconds of Crazy in Love. When I had On Demand, when I finally had On Demand, Beyonce in the little shorts. Mm-hmm. Even back then, she's not. I've seen that video recently. She's not as thick as I remember in that video.
She was very like Barbie-like back
then.
Yeah.
And, but that first 45 seconds used to be like, we got. It was like a countdown.
Which sucks, too, because I know Beyonce, she dieted so hard to get to that.
Yeah.
She struggled with her weight when she was younger.
Oh. And, ooh. I've been waiting to see her specifically. Is this? Yeah, I think that's.
It's a classic.
Classic little shadow nip.
Yeah. This is.
Yeah, this is also like, I don't know about you guys. We've been talking about this Monday, like where they were talking about how like they have sex with all the lights out. They never like. Yeah. I've always been on top of the comforter, every light on.
Yeah.
I want to see this girl. I never really cared what body I was bringing, but I just wanted to see everything.
Am I crazy or is Fred Williamson has 80s long butt?
Yeah. And that's definitely not him.
His long butt.
It's showing his ass more than it. There we go.
Oh. I would assume that was a body double.
Oh, and he had a kid as a result? 3 years later?
A kid's 7.
Little Michael Jackson there.
Yeah, you want a little 3 years later, we had a 6-year-old.
Right? Like, it's not, they're not accounting for the 9 months that it would have taken to have the kid.
Is Bear playing catch with the kid?
Wow. They're really letting him get up on that grizzly bear cage.
That's right. Grizzly bears don't eat black kids.
Yeah. Too much hair grease.
That's an old racist joke. Why don't why don't sharks eat black people?
Why?
They think they're whale shit.
Jesus Christ.
That was an old. I had a book of like... I used to buy like dirty joke books, but they would just be racist joke books.
Yeah.
Maybe a little sex thrown in the
mix. Yeah, then a couple like there. They'll be like a sex one.
Yeah.
They'll be like a chapter of blowjob jokes.
Okay.
It's a racist
as
sex
a kid,
one.
Or no, as a teenager because it was the internet. But I did find that website, slipknot.com.
Yeah.
And I used to go there and just read the white racist jokes. Like, it was just, they were great jokes, but they were all awful. Yeah. And it was a site I couldn't share with anybody, so I just sit there and read these jokes on my own.
I found a site like that it's probably still out there. I don't ever want to say the name to bring traction to it, but I remember going down that same rabbit hole.
Is the second word mania?
No.
That's another.
Nah.
There used to be an offensive jokes database. Because I used to search terms that I was going to use for roast battle on it to make sure it wasn't already like a street joke.
Yeah.
But no, I can think of a few that I've enjoyed over the years quite a bit.
Websites or jokes?
Jokes.
Yeah.
You know, you grow up around them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I struggle now to not be able to. I struggle making Asian jokes because it's like you're not really supposed to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, dude. My brain was wired to just poke fun.
I stopped.
Poke fun is actually his Asian.
Poke fun soup? Huh? She's giving me the vibe. She's not going to make it.
She looks
that
like
was a big thing in the 70s, too, having women run.
Yeah.
Just running. Across 105th Street.
What a bad place to avoid a murder.
It's just an interesting movie. Even though we've been yapping through it, it's fascinating to not fully understand why things are happening, but you kind of get what's happening.
Yeah, I think you could watch this movie with the sound off and kind of get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's like a simple
throw it out while the other one's still out.
Kind of. I love the concept that she's been running in a fur coat. And
yeah, apparently the right when the box office started coming in for the first one, they started the second one.
See, this looks like a dude who they must have some beef with, but like I don't even know what she was running from.
Well, they're trying to rub her out, yeah. Mm. But I think he's actually going to protect her. He's with Gibbs.
I wish Rampage Jackson did movies like this.
Huh?
I wish that Rampage Jackson.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
had
yeah.
This kind of career. Like,
I would love to bring Blaxploitation back.
It would be sick to, like.
He would be great for it, too. Has there been a Blaxploitation movie that's not a parody?
Recently? I would say the most recent. Well, I don't know. Jackie Brown, it read like a Blaxploitation, but it was white people in it. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know whether that classifies or not, but Jackie Brown, and it was also made by Quentin Tarantino, but it's like.
Black Dynamite was kind of, but it was like
that was a parody.
Parody, though, yeah. Such a good movie, though. Yeah. So funny. Oh, I thought he wasn't killing him.
I thought he was going to not also, but I guess that was ordered by Tommy Gibbs.
I'm glad they showed her tits.
I was ordered by D'Angelo.
Her.
I've been waiting for
your call. That double crossed Gibbs then, because I know he's wit.
Yeah.
Not just because he's black. I saw him help during the gunshot wound and everything. It's like a lot of weird double crossing going on here.
So, phone booth. Larry Cohen also wrote the movie Phone Booth that was not too, was it the 2000s?
Brad Pitt? Was that Brad Pitt?
No, I think it's Colin...
Farrell.
Farrell, yeah. Okay. Where he gets the call and there's a sniper.
And he's just stuck in there or something, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that, but I remember that looking kind of
Wow, good. Did you see that jump cut? Because that's definitely L.A., mm-hmm. and you could tell by the cabs, the shape of the cabs. Because they have like those 57 Chevy, those Bel Air cabs, as opposed to
the ones that look like fucking Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Until one of those cabs killed the kid, and now they can't have him at Disney anymore.
Really?
Had the Who Framed Roger Rabbit ride was a you were in a cab doing like the end of the movie going through Toontown.
Yeah.
And it had open sides, like you could just walk into it. And a mom was in it with two kids. It was supposed to be a two-seater. And she brought both her kids in it. And one of them got out and got crushed underneath the cab for like... Because it was automated.
Yeah, so it's not like anyone's going to break. It just kept going after he got hit.
And I think he was stuck under for like 7 minutes.
Oh, man.
And they had to turn the ride off and like bring in like people. Yeah. And I think he was brain dead for a few years and then he died.
Oh, he didn't die right away?
No.
Damn.
Because I thought to myself, like, if you're that family. A lot of men up this way. Like, Roger Rabbit's not a character you see every day, but he's somebody you're going to see a couple times a year.
Yeah.
That must be devastating.
Just got to remember.
Yeah.
Especially the mom who was too dumb.
She was an old friend of yours, wasn't she?
To double load her kids into an amusement park ride.
That is a weird feeling. I haven't experienced it to that level, but I recently had like an old jump off die.
Yeah,
which was like weird. I hadn't talked to her in a while, but it's just like
knowing that she's dead.
Right, right. And I don't know her or her family well enough to be like, yo, what happened? You know what I mean? Because I only just would be nosy.
Yeah, so you want to like hit in like the local paper, see if you can feel.
Was it around Christmas?
Yes. Yeah. Because you know that's when everybody starts checking out in December. Like just a weird, mysterious death.
I'm trying to figure out if we fucked the same girl.
This is a black chick down in Philly.
No. No.
I wish it was. I wish you said that and it was and we like, just all right, found now, out. Right? Now it is the
like,
same.
Fuck yeah, Eskimo brothers. Hell yeah.
And then you got to mourn her after you get excited. Right. Oh, yeah, but rest in peace. She was a sweet lady.
I would go further. You want to be blood brothers now? Spit brothers?
Kind of are. Yeah, no, right before Christmas, a girl I know died, and I didn't get all the details. And I talked to a few people, and I was just like, so sorry, like, you know, let me know if there's certain, like, details and shit. And all I wanted to be like, somebody tell me how this girl died.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
There is a weird thing when somebody you know kills himself. This wasn't the Katrina killer herself, but don't you almost every time want to go like, yeah, but how?
Absolutely.
I feel like everybody I've known who's killed themselves, I didn't know how, except unless I knew them. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I've never had that mystery.
You got a couple bodies on you, dude? How many girls that you slept with that are no longer on this?
Oh, no, no, never. I just meant like people in general.
I got two or three.
That was the first one for me. I mean, unless there's other that I don't know about, but yeah, that was the first one. Like, I just scrolling through Facebook and saw the rest in peace, and I'm like, right? And it was like, that was the weird thing. It's like, I hadn't talked to her or thought about her, but there was a part of me that was like,
oh, shit. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that one fucked me up. I was bummed about that one.
Yeah, I remember being weirded out about that when my dad died, and I told my mom, and they were never together. You know what I mean? And I was like 28 when my dad died, so it was like one of those things of like, you guys haven't been together since I was 8 months old.
Yeah,
my mom broke, like hung up the phone crying. You know what I mean? I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah.
Did she ever, do you ever like tell you why she felt that way, or she didn't even know why she felt that way?
Excuse me. I don't think my mom ever really had a reason to stop loving my dad, other than the fact that it was just more like a, what do you call it, like ego or pride, like just knowing that, oh yeah, I kind of fucked that thing up, you know. And then it was like my dad ended up marrying my mom's best friend.
Okay.
And like they had a happy marriage.
Just try not to laugh.
Yeah. But as the other, it's like you could see, oh, my dad was clearly a good guy, and a woman of your caliber married him and stayed with him in a marriage for 10 years. Yeah. So he's not a bad guy.
Yeah. That's a rough one to explain to everybody. I know your dad was in a tough spot. Like, look, I'm sorry.
Here's the sad part. No one blamed him. Like it was just like my mom, she's a bit rambunctious. My mom is a fighter. She's
what part of Philly are you from?
Southwest. So okay, Cobbs Creek area. Yeah, you know what I mean? My mom is all of that. And like, as a matter of fact, one of the stories that I heard where my dad kind of really was done with my mom when they were like actively trying to work it out and date. They were like in the park just for like a little makeshift picnic. And somehow like someone sat down too close to them or whatever. And my mom turned it into like a big conflict where like the guy pulled a knife and, you know, wanted to fight my dad. And my dad was like, I'm not doing this. And my mom was like, you fucking pussy. You know what I mean? So it's like that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh yeah, everyone knew how my mom was. Yeah,
sounds like a real couple of picnickers. Some real picnicker shit.
That's a great movie, right? Picnickers.
We're picnickers first. These fucking picnickers with their baskets.
Right? Picnickers sounds like a way to introduce them like you, Barney.
Picnickers, yeah. Barney.
Picnickers are people who ruin your picnic.
That's my picnic. That's my advice when people are putting together a basketball team. Picnickers.
Fucking Black History Month.
Pack the kids.
Dude, I saw a video of Dusty Rhodes the other day doing a promo on TV with an afro pick in his hair. And no afro. Not with a perm or anything.
Yeah.
Just straight hair with an afro pick stuck in it doing the promo.
Was it the like the Black Fist one?
No, it was just a regular afro pick. But it was just so fucking fun. Like, I don't know if you ever heard that, like, because there was like certain promoters that loved having like a black baby face to like be your main good guy in the 70s and 80s. And then Dusty Rhodes would be like, I'll be your black baby face, baby.
Hello.
I saw the greatest.
I had my name on the marquee.
You did?
I did it a few years ago. Yeah, that was always cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's dope.
I saw the greatest cultural difference in history. I saw the greatest meeting of cultures ever. I saw Weird Al two nights in a row at the Apollo.
Okay.
And the line of people getting out of Weird Al on 125th Street with all the people from the area being like, what was going on at the Apollo?
That it's just white people.
Just a million nerds in Hawaiian shirts.
I feel that way because of the Troy Ave shooting that happened at Irvin Plaza and that introducing me to Irvin Plaza, I felt like Irvin Plaza was like a black establishment or for black concerts. And then they opened up again after the pandemic and it'd just be like weird white kids lined up around the corner at the stand. Yeah. And you're like, who the fuck is that Irvin Plaza?
No, I saw Mindless Self-Indulgence there, I think. I've seen a couple bands there.
Yeah, I never heard of it until the Troy Ave shooting.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything, Irving Plaza, I always thought it was like a live rock venue.
Yeah.
Irving Plaza. Oh, you said around the corner from the stand, that place where it's always like, okay.
Yeah, so you see like interesting concerts lined up around there. Yeah.
That's a great shot. I really like that, the single light like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. It looks like the way they shot the moon landed. No,
I was just saying, it looks like The Exorcist. Like, I think that's like the fog. Send the boys up there, and ice is badass. Any dealing done in this
town will be done through me. Yeah, this movie storyboard had to look nuts. It's just jumping from thing to thing, shootout.
All right, that's pretty accurate for a little.
The script wasn't done when they started shooting this movie.
So they were just making it up as they went, kind of?
They were finishing writing it and already shooting.
That's a very Harlem thing to do. Dame Dash, they said all of those Rockefeller films were like that. Dame would just like, go, do it, go, you know?
All of those were great movies, I think. Maybe it's because I was watching them as a kid, but both State Properties, Painful.
Recently watched State Property 1 on Tubi.
Yeah.
It fully belongs there.
Yeah. State Property 2, though, is actually a good movie, if I remember right.
I think they figured it out a little bit better, but like the inconsistencies in State Property 1 because people weren't showing back up to set with their cars and stuff like that. So it's like really funny to watch. Like they're supposed to be drug dealers, but they're just kind of walking up to each other having conversations.
I had that on DVD in the I've never seen anything like this on a DVD. They had the auditions for all of the strippers on the DVD. Just a thing I can't forget. Just bitches shaking ass.
Yeah.
It was just a casting couch on the middle of the State Property DVD.
Yep. And they were going to show up because Jay-Z and Dame Dash were hot at that
That must suck. You didn't get the part, but you still have to be naked in the movie.
You're still in the DVD outtakes or the cuts or whatever.
Here's... And now some okay bitches. The ones that didn't make it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's wild. Like, strip club scenes. I've been a part of one over at the Show Palace in Queens. 14-hour shoot.
Is that the one across the street from Silver Cup?
Yes.
Okay, I was in a scene in that, too.
Right. 14-hour shoot. Place is ice cold.
Yeah.
And these girls... They're just right, and they gotta put it on every time, and they're like, "Dude, that is I empathize any strip club scene now."
Yeah, I was an extra in the last episode of 30 Rock.
Nice.
And so I got to watch Tina Fey and Tracy Morgan shoot a scene in a strip club
because that club is great because it's so big,
it's huge,
the stage and everything,
and then there's like a second area for holding.
Right?
There's
a ton of people there. VIP thing. Yeah, I did it for Power. A couple scenes for Power were shot in there.
Yeah, I'm at the bar when Tracy and Liz are fighting. And
Can you see yourself in it? Like if I went back and watched the last episode? But
I know it's me, and you see me for like a second.
Okay.
But I'm not incredibly visible.
That's also this club that, what was that movie where J-Lo and them were drugging people and taking all their shit?
Oh, yeah.
That's the scene where Big J was DJing in a strip club.
Hustlers?
Club there also. Yeah, Hustlers, yeah.
I just remember Tracy Morgan hitting on all the strippers.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they were too young to get his references. So he kept singing Michael Jackson songs. And then he would be like, man, without growing up, I was going to be just like Michael. He was my favorite. I rode the bus. I listened to Michael every day. I had a pet rat. Referencing Ben.
Yeah. I don't know Ben.
It's a
you don't know Ben?
I don't know Ben.
Oh, you got to go in this weird deep dive, and it, everything you'll learn about Michael Jackson if you go in this deep dive, you won't be surprised by anything anyone ever said about him after
he
that.
He did the theme to the movie Ben, which is about a killer, a guy who has a pet rat.
Right.
Okay.
But apparently he went through a phase like that also where he had a rat that he befriended.
Yeah, and
that Michael Jackson had a rat. He had a...
And Drazy just kept talking to these fucking... talking to these girls about Michael Jackson. They're just nodding because he's famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the first time I ever saw the round black people hairbrush. They had it's like a
with no handle on it.
No handle on it.
Okay, okay. Okay.
They were doing Tracy's hair with it. Yeah. I was like, I had no idea what that was. And I just remember he kept fucking up his lines, and people were getting frustrated. And then I realized what he was doing because he invited all the strippers back to his dressing room.
So he was just trying to like stall and chill.
He was trying to make the day go by slow because he was talking to bitches all day.
Yeah.
He used to stand outside of the old stand and hit on bitches, and you would watch girls get really mad, then realize he was Tracy Morgan and like turn on a dime.
Yeah.
I remember one time this really hot lady walked by and he goes, ma'am, you dropped something. And she turns around and he goes, our conversation, would you like to pick it up?
Good for him.
Yeah, he ruled, man. When I used to sell tickets on McDougal. He came up to me one night, and he's like, who's at the cellar? And I went, Mike Birbiglia. And he just, walking down the street, yells out, who the fuck is Mike Birbiglia?
Yeah, he's a dude I've never seen around my whole time being up here. But, I mean, I got up here right after, right before the accident. So that might be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of shows with Harris.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was on that?
Yeah.
It was in the accident as well.
Yeah, I met him on the road a little bit after
that.
He
is a great
guy. Yeah, he seemed like a good dude.
I really liked Harris. We used to do a lot of shows. When LOL first opened, Harris would be there a lot with us.
He made me laugh one time when I first met him because I had like just started comedy, but I went to a Patrice Memorial show and he was one of the guys opening for him. And then I was like opening for him at something. And I was like, I saw you after the show. I was like, I saw you at the Patrice show. I was trying not to be weird about it. I'm bringing it down. And he just looked down. He was like, you were at that show? And I was like, yeah. He was like, I was wearing this same shirt. I got other shirts.
Sidebarring a little bit inside baseball, but like, I think that's a huge test. I mean, we all knew Patrice was a great comic, and what he became in death was better than what most comics can strive to. But the fact that his benefit show has become a rite of passage to even validate.
Yeah.
Comics.
Like you got the spot at the benefit show.
Right. Yeah. If you get on the benefit show, and it's fascinating because there's a lot of people you see on that benefit show, he probably would be like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this horseshit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is all over killing this girl.
Mm-hmm.
That is an ugly suit. Jesus Christ.
Which one? The red one?
That fuck.
I got fuck with that red one.
No, I'm talking about this white plaid checkerboard thing he's got on.
Wow. Black guys used to let people fight one-on-one?
When it's black on black, yes.
Okay. This is a long fight scene.
And it's not that good.
These are not
older black men, too. You know what I mean?
Really?
He's just dying of sickle cell. This isn't related to the fight at all.
I thought it was a heart attack.
Yeah.
Motherfucker had a heart attack. Another guy smiling in the back. I love the extras who can't not. Like,
what is this, the Lion King?
That looks so weird, right?
Long live Mufasa.
But I don't know if it's because did they break the 180 degree line there where that just looks really weird.
So they just had to do something?
Well, no, so like the jacket was going one way and then in the next shot it felt like it was going the opposite way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go to New York. They want you to step back in New York so they can blow your head off. Make reservations to New York City. You got no organization back there no more, Tommy.
All right, you guys can tell me.
Yes, that's how we book plane tickets.
What are these guys ordering? If this is real life, what are these guys ordering at this bar?
As the drink?
Yeah.
At this time period?
I would say scotch, bourbon, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Something brown for sure.
Yeah. A little cognac, yeah.
Maybe a little cognac.
I got me some funerals to attend. Yeah, I think Courvoisier was still really, really big in the 70s too, man.
I've never been around until more recently black guys that, like, drank.
Yeah.
I could never figure out what their drink's going to be.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who they're around.
Heineken,
what they're trying
right?
to be. For beers?
Yeah.
For beers for me growing up, it wasn't a lot of Heineken for you. That's what all my homies
feel like,
was
like. But it was like you just kind of went with it.
I feel like black guys always order Heineken.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And then you get in, then you come into your own and realize like, oh, I was just drinking that because that's what the older dudes were drinking. And I actually, because I don't like Heineken.
I heard Nas talk about it on every song.
But Heineken's, they're never stored properly. They get skunky fast. You know what I mean?
I didn't realize they were like a Pilsner until kind of recently. I didn't even know they were just not a regular like light beer.
Because it's a Dutch beer. Like, what the fuck that got to do with us, you know?
But I still, to this day, if I'm just like, real quick, I'll just grab that a Corona. If I'm not trying to look and get something to be a little adventurous.
Even Corona's another beer, bad bottling. It gets skunky fast, you know what I mean? So now, if I'm going to do a bottle of beer, it's got to be the dark glass.
Yeah. Is that a thing? Dark glass helps with the skunkiness?
Yeah, because basically what happens is, like you'll see it here in New York all the time. They'll get their shipment and someone's not there to receive it. And whoever's delivering the beer will just stack that shit up out front and just leave it there. Okay. So if the sun is hitting it with those clear bottles that don't take out any UV rays, it fucks up the beer.
I don't think I've ever noticed like a fresh new beer that's been skunky and just... Because I think at that point I'm drinking and I'm, you know, my alcohol is kicking
in. Yeah, 40s go skunky sometimes real bad too.
Yeah, because it's the clear glass.
The old English ones in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
My 40 days were always hurricane, so I never had to deal with that.
Is that
I
the same?
Hurricane. I drank Busch. I still drink Busch, and I've been drinking Natty Light again.
You're back on Natty.
Back on them Natty Lights. I mean, I drink Bud Light, pretty much exclusively. Like, if I'm out,
yeah.
40s was a weird thing that we kind of got shamed out of.
Yeah, and it was. I mean,
it just used to make sense.
But that's
for 375
funny. I feel like
it became a
college kid thing, I think.
Too. Right.
But that's,
right.
I think, economical.
I'm back on it a little bit, but not 40s, but just tall boy beers. Like, if I'm a
kid. Oh, no, I drink tall boys,
I get tall boys all the time.
That's one less trip to the fridge.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Right. But, and it's saying, two tall boys, you might as well just got a 40.
Yeah. Right. He's right.
Yeah, no, I've said this before. When we had, what was it, Hurricane Sandy? Mm-hmm. I went to the bodega.
To get hurricanes?
And bought a case of Hurricane 40s. I once again pulled a Zach and argued the price and talked the guy down to like I think $20.
Like no one's buying this whole case.
No, I think it was 24. I got $24 for 12 40s.
All right, now this movie has officially turned into like a Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
you know that part of the story where it's.
And people. Also, so this director Larry Cohen made God Told Me To, which has a sniper scene in it. So I'm sure he just went, well, I know how to shoot that.
This past summer, I'm so glad I started going down to Coney Island and hanging out. I've been in the city for years, and I never really went to Coney Island.
Yeah.
Coney Island is not bad. It's the right amount of ghetto energy that I'm looking for.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's just a taste. And on Fridays, there's fireworks every Friday.
That's kind of dope.
Right. You know what I mean? It's not bad.
Yeah, I've never gone. I'm not going to go now.
Zach, I was going to say that water tower looked like the same water tower from God Told Me To.
Yeah, it might be, I think.
Are they back? Are
there... Is that a Confederate flag tower? Good for him.
I feel like in the 70s, you might have gotten away without it making people upset right away.
Yeah, black people had real problems back then.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think anybody gave a shit about the Confederate flag
until
5 years ago.
Yeah. Growing up in, like, starting comedy in Central PA, I'd go to a lot of places to do shows, and it'd be, like, people who, they're wearing hoodies that had that shit on it.
Yeah. All of those fucking beef and beer.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Fire hall shows.
Ooh, that animated blood was bad.
As a matter of fact, you know what? My last run, my second to last run of 2023 was the boardwalk. I got up that morning and ran the whole boardwalk with the sunrise. Pretty dope.
He's going to outrun that car.
This guy, keep in mind, he also got shot in the stomach like a month ago. His recovery is amazing.
No, I think this was
3 years ago.
Yeah, this is the kid post the kid.
Oh, yeah.
But still, he's doing that in spats.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Oh, man, I'm just by the way, Always Sunny has ruined the boardwalk for me so bad because now I expect to see homeless people fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
That was funny. They had one chance to capture that shot.
Police continue to hunt the professional killer, who within the last 24 hours has struck down leading members of New York's underworld. An official statement issued.
Yeah, so the original title for this, I believe, was The Sweet Revenge of Black Caesar, or Black Caesar's Sweet Revenge.
Were these guys the villains in the first one? Like all these white dudes that they're showing?
No.
Okay. All those guys died in the first one?
I would assume so.
Remember that? You didn't have to have a glove to sell hot dogs back in the day.
I was at a bar yesterday, and I saw inside the kitchen the dude wasn't cooking with gloves. I don't know why, but just bar food. I just watching the dude grab it with the buns. And
so
shit.
That guy dies, yeah, with a hot dog in his mouth?
Yeah. Yeah,
that character was named Joe Frankfurter.
That's funny.
And they killed him with a hot dog in his mouth?
Yeah.
That sucks.
And yeah, as far as the James Brown thing,
I got a, oh, my fault.
Good.
I was gonna say, I got a friend who's like trying to give himself back to God right now, and we got a group chat like where he every morning,
yeah,
it's like Bible. He has clearly a Bible app that's like remind him stuff.
Yeah,
he's sending us screenshots of it, and he's sending like YouTube videos of different gospel songs. And I've been texting him like, yo, bro, are you like out the group chat? Like, are you cool? Like,
yeah,
are you,
yeah, going, yeah, through, yeah, because it's scary.
Yeah.
People get on their way out, they, yeah, get really, yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris went through a real religious phase right before he checked out. He was texting people and then pretending that he didn't send that. Like,
yeah,
Chris,
yeah.
I saw that come from you.
Yeah.
I screenshotted that.
Yeah.
I also think it's fascinating watching. There are a lot of hardcore influencers who are starting to go to Christianity. I know we're going to talk about this today. We found a video of a guy who transitioned to a woman, yeah, but found God, and now he's going back to being a man. And like, he's like, look, follow me on my journey. And I'm, yeah, like, oh, Christianity finally tapped into influencers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because their numbers were down, yeah, bad with all of that Catholic Church,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also been on TikTok lots of like former OnlyFans girls transitioning to like Catholic stuff.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think they took some of that Vatican money and paid some influence.
I can't remember if it's Tubi or Pluto. But
sorry, that's a funny sentence.
But they have my favorite game show, American Bible Challenge.
Really?
Hosted by Jeff Foxworthy.
Whoa.
And it is exactly what you think it is.
Yeah, I
just
bet.
Like guessing the verse.
It's a game show of Bible trivia. But it'll be like for charity. Everybody plays for charity. So, yeah, it'll be like the first one, it's all like religious people. But then it gets funny where it'll be like, you know, nuns versus bikers, tattoo artists versus, and one is Jews. They have a team of Jews.
Oh, that's so funny.
And they're so funny.
The Jews,
like,
lost. They had to lose. I don't think they would let them win.
They make it to the finals because it was all Old Testament.
It was their stuff.
Here's your Bible.
Oh, but dude, it's fucking hilarious.
I do feel bad that my friend's like getting into God, and I'm like, what's wrong with you?
I know, right?
It's like a weird, different place to be. But I did respond. He sent like some Kurt Franklin song. I sent the video, the old Pussy Poppin' Ludacris video.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, I felt bad. I was like, nah, I'm just playing. Stay blessed. That's when I started really thinking about it.
This probably didn't come across your guys' timelines, I'm going to assume. But my buddy had posted a thing because Toby Keith died.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted there's an excerpt from a book. I believe it was Willie Nelson's something, his birthday or something. And he's talking about how, like, every famous musician, I mean, he's like Mick Jagger, the Beatles, Paul McCartney's there. And Toby Keith shows up and Chris Christopherson's there. And Toby, they don't name it, but it's very obviously supposed to be Toby Keith in the story because he was an unnamed country singer, but then he, like, describes him,
yeah,
as Toby Keith. Said to Chris Christopherson, hey, don't do any of that lefty shit out there tonight. And Chris Christopherson was, like, in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, have you ever killed another man? And cashed a check from the government, like screams at him.
Yeah.
And he turns to Willie Nelson. He's like, you know what Waylon Jennings would have said about this guy, this motherfucker? He goes, You are to country music with the invention of pantyhose was the finger fucking.
That's the exact same street they almost hit that guy on. They yep. did all them takes at that same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weekend, baby.
Yeah, once they mostly shot this on weekends while they were making a different movie. Which also means that the director and the crew just didn't sleep.
Yeah, because they just were, yeah, yeah. If only, well, this is, what's this? This isn't old New York. That's old L.A., right?
Yeah. I did that one time. I did pickups on another movie while I was working on a movie. So I was working nights on the regular movie and then doing pickups during the day.
What are pickups?
Shots you missed or shots that the editor requested because it doesn't work.
I did not know sunroofs were a thing back then.
I was pretty nuts at that point.
Yeah.
Just doing two movies at the same time. I was like...
Had the like hustle in you?
No, yeah. I was like manic. I wasn't sleeping.
Okay. Man, look at that chilling.
Old TSA.
Chilling through TSA.
Just a table.
Yeah, I remember I had a...
Which, also, I don't understand why the TSA just doesn't move on at this point to like another country where their services are probably more appropriately needed, you know?
You don't think we need it here no more? I think the second we stop TSA, they're like... They're dumb. We're going right back through there.
Nah.
I think so. I think of how devastating it would be to just explode yourself on a plane and then just plane fragments fall over New York City or some shit like that.
I guess so.
I don't know. Traveling overseas, every country was different with TSA stuff. Some you just like kind of breeze through. Some were like really like shoes off. I was like surprised. Mm-hmm. Amsterdam was real bad, but obviously that's because they don't people fuck around with drugs. Ireland, I think, I think it was Ireland or Scotland, was hilarious. It's, you know, me, Lewis, Dave, and Robbie. And instead of like checking through customs, just a guy went, "You guys got any drugs on you? Food, vegetables, yeah. Firearms?" And Lewis goes, "No fruits, vegetables, or firearms." And the guy goes, "All right, go ahead."
Why don't you think that we like don't need TSA anymore? You think it's just like where no one's fucking with us like that? They don't care.
It's only us.
Yeah,
it's only like that's the thing. It's like
no, there was lines everywhere. But I'm just saying,
it's weird. Like at this stage on a domestic flight, who for what? Who? Why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
you're not gonna be able to pull off. Crashing into anything,
and for
anymore,
what we're spending to have that at every airport, yeah. You know what I mean? Like the fact that like they have like fleets of vehicles.
Yeah,
what the fuck is that?
It makes me feel good. I'm gonna be honest. I don't hate the TSA. I get to the airport early. I start drinking right away, and then fall asleep on the flight.
And I also don't like the pseudo power that we give these people who are very undeserving. Because the people that they hire are like, whoa, buddy, this is brutal.
You get a good one sometimes.
Depends on the airport. Like at a smaller airport, I've met like nice TSA people that just want to like small talk and shit. But like leaving anywhere around here.
Anywhere huge is always a nightmare.
Yeah.
Security, when I flew out of Lafayette, Louisiana, security was two people. An old man and a lady.
Mm-hmm. And it was like a major international airport?
No, it was a tiny airport. It had like five
gates. Did
he just
buy a ticket with cash? Yeah. Holy shit.
That's nuts. You said it was what?
Five gates. It was five planes. Mm. And Lewis's flight was at 6 a.m. Mine was at noon. And Lewis was still there when I got there. Because his flight got delayed because the plane had a mechanical problem. And they, on the loudspeaker, this is what a little airport it was. "Hi, we're going to need to delay all of today's flights. We're having mechanical issues on the runway, and our mechanic lives about an hour and a half away, and someone has to go wake him up."
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then you got to fly in that thing.
He doesn't have a phone.
Yeah, little planes still freak me out. I'm all right now on big, you know, Airbuses, whatever the fuck they're called, Boeing Jones, but...
See what I'm saying? Soon as all that security, look
soul
what
planes.
Happened.
They were called what?
Soul planes. I just watched that. And
uh-oh, we're about to see what a straw can actually do. These turtles ain't safe.
That's a nice private.
little nice cushions.
I want to ride on a private jet so bad.
So fucking bad.
Can you imagine this guy fucking opened up a plastic bag and murdered you with it?
Pretty sweet, though.
He's not even really got him pinned down. He's just, like, he don't got his arms. Toss him. Are they going to toss him? That's dumb. You can't toss him.
What a shot. We're in a plane. Don't forget.
Why is he on a private jet?
I think they killed this guy.
I think it's just
he was, all the way around.
It's first class and it's upstairs, it looks like.
Yeah, I believe that's... That used to be a thing, right? Do they still make the two-level planes?
Yes, most of them are used for freight and stuff like that now. Like, I used to work at UPS loading up planes. They use a lot of them there to just put the packages in.
But none for, like, commercial shit anymore?
I mean, yeah. You know what's funny? I'm taking a pretty big plane to London in March. So, I don't know. Maybe this might be one of those things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know
That's
whether we're
dope.
Still into that. We got a, like, did y'all see that new cruise ship that just went off from Florida?
Yes.
Bigger than the Titanic. Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Well, don't advertise it that way. That's not how you want to sell this to people. You got to say, like, bigger than the Titanic, but we're being very careful. And, God, we respect you.
But that's the thing. You can't – I mean, the Titanic already said all that shit.
but they – I think one of their big things they said was, like, God couldn't sink this boat.
Yeah. God himself.
Yeah, one of the people that died on the Titanic was the person who pitched having extra lifeboats. And then the people said, no, it makes the boat look ugly. And he died on the boat.
Just mad as fuck, like I told
him. Furious.
Them.
As he's shivering into the ice water. So?
Dying pissed at something that was avoidable has to suck. Uh-huh. Especially when it's slow, it's not sudden.
Where did the unzipping come from?
TSA had to get in
this
there.
This exact scene could happen today. It's just everyone would have their phones out.
There is a video of two people fighting, two girls fighting in baggage claim like this. Showed up on World Star sometime last week.
I was flying out of Kentucky last year, and I saw the girl ahead of me in line at TSA threw her coffee in the ticket lady's face because she missed her flight. And the lady was kind of being shitty with her.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the chick was hammered or whatever, but she just took her full coffee and pegged the lady in the face with it.
And now she's on a no-fly list.
Yeah. I was afraid to be near it.
Yeah.
I like that they're doing everything that we all want to do when we see these things. Yep. That they're telling us is absolutely dangerous. But it's like, yeah, I got to do it. And they're just standing there.
Just suitcase.
That's not
is that
my
yours?
Suitcase. who brought a black guy?
We got to check those now?
I could check black guys.
We have Rana. Please, if your black man does not fit in the overhead compartment, we're going to need you to check him.
We've got a full flight.
Too late. They took your boy away. There's nothing you can do about it. When the hell did you let it happen? The head guns. I'm a man of God now. I don't use violence anymore. Where did D'Angelo take him? I don't know.
They haven't showed his son that I know of since that first scene of them showing him.
No, I think they had to put that scene in once they got to this part of writing the movie. And then they take his son. What son? Oh, I didn't tell you I had I didn't tell you I had a son.
No, I said, what son? I didn't hear you. Well, he has a son.
He said, Rufus, I love my son.
It's kidnapping murder. They have to help us. Let me take it.
Rufus got bird shit on the back of his jacket.
Yeah, that's bothering me.
Yes, D'Angelo. I'm Reverend Rufus Fairchild, acting as intermediary on the matter. What's he after? State your terms, D'Angelo.
What are the terms, D'Angelo?
What's your life?
Damn. The ultimate price.
How do we know Jason is all right?
Wait, let me put him on hold.
We want to see Jason first.
You want to see him? All right, let me FaceTime you.
Okay. An hour.
Did you guys grow up with like any pad or pen next to the phone like that to dictate messages?
No.
We had a phone book.
Yeah.
That you could write numbers in.
Right.
But then, yeah, usually we had a my dad would have a piece of paper and a pen.
I think you still should. Like, I like I have a pad that I have out of, like, my kitchen island.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, sometimes if I'm on an important call, I do take notes. Like, I just jot shit down what people are saying.
I never have important phone calls. I don't got shit to jot down.
No, I just have a million notes.
So you found God?
I have a million notes on my phone that are, like, half ideas for jokes.
Yeah. And the notepad app?
Yeah.
I know, my notepad app is probably enough to get me canceled because it's like all the beginning concepts of jokes, which, you know, jokes just come from the most awful place.
Yeah, just psychotic.
Yeah, I wrote one the other day. Sometimes it'll just be like a name that I find funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is he? Literally, one of just says black dicks. Dick. Dick so black that after they fucked him, the girl's pussy looked like he had been eating licorice jelly beans. Just you. Yeah, that sounds like something I would say.
Right.
Especially high as hell. That's a high-ass thought.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. It's just the name. Steve Harvey Oswald.
Like there's a sketch in there somewhere.
Something's funny to me. I'm going to kill the president, survey says. You did not just tell me that I shot the president.
Well, that's one sinner that won't sin no more. Yeah, I take this.
Yeah, I got you.
It's been a long time. Welcome back, brother. I couldn't very well let him kill you.
I wonder if this is where they got the Cheech turns into a priest in Machete.
I still got to save your soul. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm watching this movie, and I think I understand the Freddie Gibbs character now. Like, okay.
Freddie Gibbs, the musician?
Yeah. He's imitating Tommy Gibbs.
He saw
Gibbs.
This and, okay.
Yeah.
Every time they say his name, I've been thinking about it, but I didn't think that's what he would have. But, people get that.
It's a lot of that. I mean, like, you remember Biggie used to call himself Frank White?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you see the King of New York and you go like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So, the official story with the soundtrack. Writer, director, producer Larry Cohen loved the Black Caesar soundtrack and film score by James Brown. Cohen asked him to score the follow-up, Hell Up in Harlem. Brown finished the soundtrack, but American International Pictures said no. James Brown did the score of an AIP movie called Slaughter's Big Ripoff. They hated that so much they decided never to work with him again. He took the tracks of the planned soundtrack album and released it as a solo album simply titled The Payback. The Payback by James Brown was his highest-selling album and works still as a score to this.
You're the one to blame, Tommy. You should have stayed retired.
We got your kid. You never see.
Come back into the business and bring your whole family with you. Now toss those guns away, or
I'll kill
this boy.
That's a bad screenshot. It's the background on Kumia's phone.
Jesus Christ!
Shout out here.
Hope those coats, better, buddy. Those coats were great as far as like low key wealth. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm very bespoke plain coat, but I'm rich.
Dude. Oh, no.
That kid had a heavy foot, didn't he? He's dumping in the forest.
They killed the pastor right after he gave up God. Yeah. What a bad time.
Fair trade.
He's in hell now. How did he not shoot him?
It was empty.
But didn't he just shoot one in the sky?
Yeah,
he just had not one in the...
Yeah. Misfired or whatever he did.
That's one of the things you feel like the luckiest, man. Like, I can't be stopped. The gun broke.
Mm-hmm. Shit, you gonna hang it with a necktie? Let's go. This is the shit that my mom would see. Yeah, see, because clothes were better quality back then. It's not like the cheap shit that you guys wear now.
You could never hang somebody with a tie now.
I remember getting into a fight with my mom over the concept of like how they used to have like bomb drills when they were in school, where they would have to like get under their desk and stuff like that, and they would practice this. And I remember explaining to her, like, the, almost like the Fight Club concept. Like, no, it's just to keep you in position and just calm while you die.
Yeah.
And my mom, she was like, no, it was to protect us in case of a nuclear explosion. And I'm like, Ma.
Your desk.
Right. Like, it's a nuclear explosion eviscerates everything. And again, she's like, no, our desks were made of quality wood, not this cheap plywood shit you kids grew up with. And I'm like, holy shit.
That's that same thing with the shits on airplanes, right? They're not supposed to, they're not doing anything. They just so you die peacefully, the face, the little mask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're not running around the fucking plane.
They should just let those out every now and again. Just like, we got a long flight. Get
they just let them out at the beginning.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I think they do deploy. Yeah.
Just to let you.
No, by accident.
Oh, that would make.
I think there's a pressure change in the cabin.
And they'll just fucking go.
Or if it hits a really big, like, speed, like turbulence pump.
That would scare me, actually.
Sometimes they'll drop.
I just meant it as like, everybody, let's get, we got a long flight. Let's all get a little high.
Just
get
a little relax. High. We're just gonna turn on the gas.
Yeah, we're gonna bring around your sparkling water.
Guys, I have some Laffy gas.
Don't even put them on. Just let it fill the air.
And then he gets his son, and then they walk off together in the woods. And then, you know, he reflects and realizes we're leaving.
Just the two of us. We're gonna start over.
Son's not even in the scene.
This is how every black man feels about our children. It's just the women are in the way.
I love the woods. They just shot him in front of a black background.
Vanished that night.
With two, they just put leaves on a stick next to him in front of a black background. Like,
that was that's it.
Matter of fact, too, if you ever listen to Freddie Gibbs music, this is the type of shitty samples.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
wow,
so funny that Gibbs was trying to be.
I'm
comedy.
Sorry, that is was up for a long time. What is the reading level of people watching this movie?
Hey, hold on. What happened? What the hell happened to the boy? God damn it. Now we got to see it again.
Going back to the movie again to see the last 4 seconds. I got to finish that sentence.
He and his son went, motherfucker.
I got to go a third time now.
can't force this movie 3 times?
Shit.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been Zach Amigo's Midnight Spook Show. I want to thank Nate Marshall and Dave Temple for hanging out with me today. And, hey, that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, guys. And we'll catch you next week here on Zach Amigo's Midnight Spook Show.